Coming up next, the most destructive thought to your professional growth. And then why graduation rates are dipping across the United States. We'll break it down for you. And of course, we're going to take your calls. And it all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. So glad you are with us. Let's get to it. What is the most destructive thought to your career? The most destructive thought to your growth, quite frankly, in any area of your life. Now, of course, we're going to focus on the professional focus here and the application, but this thought is the most destructive thought in your personal life as well. It is responsible for more unmet goals, unrealized dreams than any thought in the history of the world. What is it? I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Now, for some of you, that is, in its general usage, that is the big thought. For some of you, it's more specific. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not qualified enough. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not lovable enough. I'm not, and we begin to just fill in the blank. And it comes down to disbelief, doubt, insecurity. You can call it anything you want to call it. But it is a statement that answers the question that every human being asks on a daily basis in some form, and that is, am I enough? Am I enough for you to love me? This is what a kid asks. A little girl, when she walks in the room with her dad, her whole life, am I pretty enough? Little boys around their dads, their whole life as they're adult men. Am I strong enough? Am I good enough? Right? I mean, this is the human element. And we've got to embrace this. You know, walking through all of those different examples of statements that are the answer to the question, are you good enough? We, absent of reality, absent of feedback, absent of accountability, absent of positive voices in our lives, we're going to answer those questions or that question, am I good enough, with a negative answer. It's just the nature of who we are as humans. So you have got to make sure that you're aware of this natural proclivity, this natural voice. You're always asking, am I good enough? So let's start with the answer. Yes. Yes, you are. You are good enough. You know, I got to tell you, the one that I really struggle with over the last 2 years, and I'm just going to make this very real and transparent to teach out of something that I've been struggling with. And that is, am I good enough of a dad? Am I good enough of a parent? Parenting is hard. Whew, can I get an amen out there? I mean, parenting's hard. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. And I'm not asking this. I want to be very vulnerable and transparent. I'm not asking this from a place of I've done something really, really wrong, or I've been checked out for 5 to 7 years of my kid's life. I've been a delinquent dad, or you know, I've not done any of that. Okay. I'm not judging anybody that has. I'm just saying this is coming from being in the trenches every day. And I think it's a natural thing for parents to ask, am I good enough? I can't be the only one that asked that question. Am I good enough? Am I doing a good job? Because what we do is we pretend to take what's going on with our kids and their lives, which is tough. Life is tough. And what we do is we tend to take our kids' pain, our kids' frustrations, our kids' longings, and we pull them over on ourselves. And this is unhealthy, but we tend to just kind of put all of that on us and we go, what's my role in this? Because my kid got hurt or my kid's not doing this well or whatever, 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 whatever. So I'm just telling you, I've had to look at this and go, wait a second, this is the wrong question. I shouldn't be asking, am I good enough? I should be saying, I'm good enough. Now, that does not mean that I don't try to get better as a father. It means that I have to let myself off the hook and go, look, I'm providing a safe environment for my kids. I'm providing a healthy environment for my kids. I'm providing tremendous opportunities for my kids. I love my kids. They know it. I'm involved, very involved, sometimes too much. Uh-oh. Right? But the point is that I've got to get to the point where I go, I'm good enough. And when I say I'm good enough, I'm not focused on all the things I've done wrong or all my shortcomings or all the things I can't control. I'm going, you know what? I'm good enough and I need to do the best I can today to be the best dad I can be. And so you got to let yourself off the hook. And I'm not comparing myself to everybody else. I'm not comparing myself to yesterday. I'm just going, hey, I'm present. I'm in the moment. And this is the key, because we're all asking the question, am I enough? And when we don't get good answers, positive, realistic answers, healthy answers, then we're going to fill it with negative stuff. So number one, you are good enough. And understand that just means that's baseline. You have value. Can you be better? Sure. But instead of I'm not qualified enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not all this, say, no, I'm enough. I'm enough. And I have value as a human being. And so I know that there are some areas that I could add some expertise. I could add some skill. I could add some experience. That's fine. You're enough. So go get those things. But don't turn it into this, I'll never get there because I don't have what it takes. I'm never going to be an attractive candidate. I'll never be a good leader. All the things. Because that's a lie. Give you an example. We get this call all the time. Ken, I've got an opportunity to be promoted. I've always wanted to be promoted. But it means I'm going to have to lead. I've never led before. Ken, can I lead? How do I know if I'm good enough? Here's the deal. Prospective leaders, current leaders, you're enough. You have all that you need to be successful being a leader. There's nothing to do with it. It's not a you thing. It's an experience thing. It's a skill thing. These are things you can add. You can add experience. You can add skill. But you are still you. So you are enough. Do you need to add something to the plate? Sure. But to disqualify yourself because maybe you got overlooked. To disqualify yourself because you failed. To disqualify yourself because you didn't get the job that you wanted. To disqualify yourself because you got laid off. This is giving in to the voice. The voice that kills so many dreams. And the voice is, I'm not enough. Today, if you hear nothing else, you are enough. You have everything you need. You are already who you're supposed to be in your uniqueness. And now we can figure out where I do that best. What skill, what experience can I add? But you're enough. And you got to believe that because you have something to offer. So focus on how you can get better. Stop listening to the voice saying you're not enough, because I'm here to tell you, you are enough. Coming up next, we're going to get to your calls, help some people get clarity and confidence to move forward. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, helping you win at work and in life, helping you make a fat paycheck and big time impact. That's right. It can be done. You don't have to hate the weekend. Excuse me, you don't have to hate the week and just live for the weekend. You don't have to. We're going to help you make that money and experience meaning and watch your life improve. Mary Ann is up next in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Mary Ann, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Mary Ann. What's up?
Well, the reason for my call is because I tend to suffer from a little bit of an imposter syndrome. I am fully qualified in my position. I've sought out all the certifications I needed, and I've succeeded in that. I have a master's degree, but yet I still suffer from this. Somebody's going to find out I'm not really all that. And then in addition to that, I also suffer from that anxiety that I get at 8 o'clock at night or Sunday evening before the work week starts, where I'm like, oh no, you know, I'm not succeeding. I feel like when I go into work the next day, I'm going to get that call into the office. And I don't know why. I've not received that indication from anyone. No one's ever said that to me. I've asked my boss point blank, but yet I drive myself crazy with just not being enough.
Mm, there it is. Boy, this is on theme. So you have no evidence of it in the workplace. And I'll bet you don't have any evidence of it throughout your career. So the question is, who said something? Who did something to you when you were much younger? Because that's where this is coming from.
Yeah, I feel like actually it was when I was younger, I was much more confident and sure. But I was sort of blindsided by a divorce about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Didn't see it coming. And so from that point on, I think, and I kind of thought about this, I think that now I don't trust any of my judgment. I feel like it has destroyed the ability for me to trust my own judgment.
Wow.
Because I didn't see that. You know, I didn't see that, and that was 30 years in the making.
Right. So how in the world are you going to see if you're screwing up at work and your boss is going to come in and hit you with a pink slip?
Correct.
Yeah. Listen, first of all, I am so sorry.
Thank you.
And I think we've nailed it. I think you have nailed it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two things going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've been hit with a perfect storm that the surprise divorce created. And it's on one side, you're getting just crushed with giant waves of self-worth. You're just getting crushed. Like, he doesn't want me anymore. I mean, at the end of the day, he's unhealthy, and there's all kinds of issues there that I'm sure you've now since discovered, but it doesn't matter because it makes it feel like he didn't want you.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're getting crushed with self-worth on one wave, just beating you. You're not worth anything. He doesn't want you. You're not lovable. You're not whatever, whatever, whatever. And then on the other side, you're getting hit with the wave of self-doubt. So one's self-value, the other is doubt, because you're like, how in the world did I not see it? What's wrong with me? Did I have my head in the sand?
Yes.
Sound about right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. That is quite a beating to take.
Yeah, I did not imagine that when it happened that it would have this kind of effect on my professional life. I always sort of kept them separate, or at least thought I did.
You know why that's impossible, Marianne? Yeah. And this is to let you off the hook. You're not weak. There's nothing wrong with you. We can't separate our personal lives and our professional lives because you are the same person. Marianne, the wife and mother and friend and daughter and co-worker and leader and all the things. Well, it's the same person who's in the kitchen as is in the boardroom. It's the same person. I got to tell you, I'm not surprised that you feel this. So first and foremost, have you seen a counselor in the 5 years since the divorce to really process through the pain from the divorce?
Yes.
Okay,
and
great.
It has gotten better over time, certainly.
Yeah.
Time heals wounds and those kinds of things. But I think that she and I have worked together to sort of remind me that it's...
you didn't have your head in the sand.
It wasn't necessarily all about me.
It wasn't. I mean, have you gotten to the point where you now realize you're not some clueless head in the sand?
See, that's where I'm struggling, I think. I think so, too. I feel like I'm just a big dummy. I just didn't see it, you know?
Yeah, but have you discussed this with your counselor?
I have, but maybe I need to read it.
Maybe you need to listen to what he or she said. Is it possible? Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that people can hide something from you and do such a good job that it has nothing to do with your intelligence? I'm just curious. What's your take on that?
Well, I guess I've learned that, yes. Before, if you had asked me 6 years ago, I would have said absolutely not. I'm a smart person. I'm a smart cookie. I know everything. Right?
Well, so I don't think that those are mutually exclusive. I think you can be really smart and also get duped. You didn't buy into a scam. You didn't buy into an oceanfront resort in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
Come on. That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's dumb. If you have any evidence of your life, in your life, Marianne, where you've got a track record or even three instances of doing something really stupid, do you have any evidence of that?
I would not say I have a track record of doing that.
No, of course not. And you have nothing but superlatives in your professional career.
Mm-hmm.
So, couple of things. A, this is about getting healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think you're going to have to go back to your counselor and go, it didn't stick. I need some more tools. I've got to get victory over this because I'm still looking back in the rearview mirror and I'm still beating myself up that I should have seen it, and it's making me question my judgment, and I'm getting anxiety on Sunday nights because I go, is the trap door coming this week? Because that was such a trap door for you that you feel like there's got to be another trap door. And so, I mean, I can talk with you about it. I'm not a professional licensed counselor, but I can tell you this is the issue. And if you can get healthy on that, the anxiety about the trap door and the doubt about your ability to deliver is going to go away. Once you forgive yourself and acknowledge that you're not an imbecile who didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain.
Right.
So once you get over that, then those two issues, imposter syndrome, which, by the way, you don't have imposter syndrome. It's impossible to have. It's not a syndrome, first of all. You don't have a disease. You've been hurt. No. You've been hurt deeply.
Okay.
And number two, you are not impersonating some other person. So you're not an imposter.
Okay.
So remove that. That's a crutch. The deal is you got some good old-fashioned doubt. And you got some anxiety that has come from, both doubt and anxiety are real, and they've come from being whacked in your relationship. You didn't see it coming. And so it hurts so bad that you get up every day of your life, Marianne, and it's almost like you're walking cautiously, shoulders hunched up, just trying to guard for the punch that comes out of nowhere and hits you right upside the ear. Am I right?
You are 100% correct.
All right, then. Here's the good news. The good news, you can get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I think it's therapy. I don't think there's anything professional you need to do any differently. I don't think there's nothing wrong with you. You just need more therapy. You gotta get healthy.
Gotcha.
You know, Mike Tyson once said so famously, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you really find out, nobody knows what they really are until they get punched right in the nose.
Yeah. And
guess what? You got body slammed. Forget punch in the nose. Your husband dropped you off the top ropes, and it's going to take some time.
Okay.
But focus on what you really need to focus on, not some made-up excuse. You got this. Coming up next, we dive into the news. Some really interesting stuff you need to know about. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the show that helps you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. So grateful to have you with us. Big shout out to everybody watching live on YouTube and all of our viewers. We had a question in the chat room I want to address very quickly. How do we email the show? The email address is ask@kencoleman.com. ask@kencoleman.com. All right, there's been a lot of buzz lately about this guy, Phil, from ZipRecruiter. Been a lot of thank you Phils going around. Here's what some people are saying on the internet. Elisa M. said, Phil, you're amazing. You gave me the confidence I needed to land an awesome job. Thank you. That Phil sounds like someone you want in your corner, especially for an easier job search. What job will Phil help you discover? Find out at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Thrilled to have you with us. As I said, 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. 844-747-2577. All right, couple of items to get to. Major changes, new trends. What does it mean for you? We break it down in the news. Okay, ABC News reports graduation rates dip across the United States with the pandemic as the big culprit. High school graduation rates dipped in at least 20 states after the first full school year disrupted by the pandemic. The data was obtained from 26 states and analyzed by ChalkBeat. These are the latest data points that are really, honestly, bad news for the public education system in the United States. It's been rocked by a pandemic. It left many students learning remotely, of course, and it continues to complicate teaching and learning. And I'm going to tell you something. I over the weekend, I've reposted a clip on Instagram. From teachers. I did a rant on the show. I posted it and I said, hey, if you're a teacher and you've left or you're thinking about leaving or you were administrator, a principal, and you left or you're thinking about leaving, I said, I want to hear from you. And so I'm just raising my hand again and go, hey, ask@kencoleman.com is the email address. If you've got thoughts on why it's not working and what to do about it, I want to hear from you. Now, back to the story. We got another story coming up, as I teased at the top of the show. We'll get to that in just a second. But here's what's going on. I dove deep into the ABC article, and it's a function of the same culprit that I believe remote working has created. They quote several kids in this article as saying, look, I come from a low-income family. There wasn't school, which means there wasn't the food pantry, there wasn't hot meals. I had to work. So I went and started making money. And so you start looking at, well, they're making money. How much money can they make? Then they got schoolwork that's online, so they didn't have to sit in front of the computer like they would having to sit in a classroom. There wasn't the accountability. And so these kids are going, well, I can make money, and I could see the benefits of feeding my family, feeding myself, getting all the new tech toys, and doing schoolwork. And so this is just, I mean, folks, these are teenagers, many times in low-income families where they had to choose. And then let's just play this out. You got parents that are working from home, kids that are doing school from home. Let's just move it up to middle class, upper class, whatever. These kids aren't going to engage online like they would in person. Teachers know this. This is just human behavior. So when you look at the graduation rates dropping, when you change everything about education and it's just as well, we'll do it online, we'll get to it when we can, it takes away the urgency. And so the kids feel the same thing. So some of them went, wait a second, I can come back later and get my GED. I'm going to go work now. That's one of the reasons. All right, next story, CNBC survey. 54% of students with federal loans say the debt was not worth it. The debt's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Nearly one-third of undergrads borrow money from the federal government to pay for college. That's about 43 million Americans who owe a staggering total of nearly $1.6 trillion in outstanding student loans. Pause. Folks, higher education is big business, period. The federal government, Uncle Sam, is making big dollars on higher education. A new survey found that 54% of federal student loan borrowers said that taking on the debt was not worth it. Interesting. Of all of the groups that they, it was 5,162 adults. That's a good sample size. Of the groups, the demographics of the 5,162 adults, millennials and Gen Xers were the most skeptical about the value of the student loan. 63% of respondents ages 35 to 44, so those are your oldest millennials and your younger Gen Xers, 63% said it was not worth it to take out federal student loans. 63%. Now, let's give you a little bit more data here. Millennials are the largest demographic in the American workforce now. So there's more millennials working in the United States than any other demographic generation. Okay. And so 63%, whoo, that's a whopping number. The average loan amount for federal student loan borrowers is $36,510. Kate Burnick is 39. She finished graduate school nearly 15 years ago with two communication degrees and about $100,000 in student debt. This is a direct quote. She said, "I used to be really proud that I had a master's degree, but now it feels a little foolish. Feels like maybe I shouldn't have gone because it's really hard to put a price on what the advantage has been versus the disadvantage of getting into debt." And this was a haunting statement. "It's like a mortgage without the house at the end of it." That will preach. I mean, is there anything else that needs to be said? This is a successful businesswoman, multiple degrees and a master's, working in New York City, communications hotshot. "It's like a mortgage without the house at the end of it." Whoa. Whoa. So at what point do we see the dominoes tip the other way where people go, I think there's other options that are just as viable, more viable. I think we're there. I think we're going to see it in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years where this next generation, and ultimately it's going to come down to parents, and we parents, we could fast forward this process. If we would just say, "Hey, kiddo, what do you want to do in your life? Let me help you figure it out. Let's take Ken Coleman's Get Clear Career Assessment. Let's shadow some people. Let's learn. Let's intern. Let's take a gap year or two as long as we're on purpose. Let's see how we can marry what you do best with work and tasks and functions that you enjoy and results that you care deeply about. Let's see. Where does that exist in the marketplace for jobs? Let's see what it actually takes to get qualified. Let's figure out that plan and watch. Watch college enrollment continue to plummet unless college reinvents itself, which I don't like its chances. Let's watch a generation of fulfilled people realizing what it's actually about, filling that unique role that you were created to fill. Oh, it's so close. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. Coming up, more of your calls and the job tip of the day. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you get unstuck in your work so that you can be on purpose in your life. Fulfillment, happiness, meaning. These are the words that really matter, not success and power and status. That's all relative. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. Let's get to the phones. La Mirada, California is where we go. Marissa is there. Marissa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So a little bit of backstory. I've been with my current company for a little over 2 years. I previously was hired for one position. It was like an admin position. And then about 8 months in, I got offered like a promotion to a sister division. So about 6 months there, I realized the culture was very toxic and I ended up leaving. I ended up leaving the company. When my original division heard about that, they brought me back under a different position. And about 3 months ago, I was again offered a new position, but within the original division. So the division that I love, but a different position. And I'm about 3 months in, and I'm realizing I do not think it is the right fit. I'm very unhappy. It caused me a lot of anxiety, and I don't know how to tell my new supervisor that I do not like this position, and I would like to go back to my old one.
How, in your mind, does the old leader play into this?
It's not the leadership I have a problem with. It's more of the day-to-day duties.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was a bad question. I didn't ask a good question because I confused you. How much say you want to go back to your previous position within this company?
Yes, uh-huh.
So how much say does that leader, whoever that was that you worked for, how much say do they have in that? For instance, is that position open? Would you have to go to them first to get their blessing? I mean, that's what I'm trying to understand in helping you think through this.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention. So I'm actually working both jobs currently. So they haven't filled that previous position. I'm still working it along with this new position.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
Yeah, so I'm doing two jobs.
Well, how much does that have to do with the anxiety?
Maybe a little bit because it's a little overwhelming, but it's also hard to let go of that previous position because I did enjoy some of it. It didn't challenge me as much as I would like to, but I did enjoy doing some of the stuff in that position. So letting it go is a little bit hard, but definitely having both is more stressful.
Well, then it seems like you're very valuable to them and they're currently trying to backfill that position that you're currently holding and they wanted you in the new position. But I think if you sat down with them and just were honest to go, hey, I did it because you guys wanted me to do it. Maybe I have a hard time saying no. Maybe I should have asked some more questions, but I'm 3 months into this and I just know for a fact this is not the best fit for me. I just want to stay in my other position. What's the worst that could happen? What are you afraid of saying that? So you asked me, how would you say it? That's how I'd say it. I'd be honest. You're not griping. Yeah. You're not throwing them under the bus. What are you worried about happening?
Just being disappointing them and letting them down.
Yeah, but wait a second. If you don't tell them and you keep doing this and they fill your old position and then you're in this new position, how long before you leave anyway?
Yeah, exactly. I can't see myself doing this long term.
So wait a second. I mean, I'm on Team Marissa, not Team XYZ Corporation and boss. You understand what I'm saying? You got to make the decision that's right for you. And I think they value you enough that if you tell them in a very humble way to go, look, I tried. I mean, they wanted you to take this position, right? Or was it your idea?
No. I think that was part of why I accepted it. The general manager, he in the month leading up, he just kept hyping me up. I'm glad you're back. And then when he brought me in to speak with me, he's like, this great opportunity, and there wasn't really even a raise increase by much.
Yeah. So
he was so excited.
Yeah. So you're a nice person. You said, hey, I believed you and it's not you. This is just not a good fit. Be specific though. Say, because it's this work. Use the language you hear me use on the show. I've got the talent for it, but I'm not passionate about the work. It's not missional.
Exactly.
Show him I'm spending 80% of my day doing this, and this is not something I love. I appreciate the opportunity. I should have asked more questions. I should have looked into it deeper. Whatever. Just be honest and humble. Say, look, I want to be here. This isn't the right fit for me. I'm so sorry. I don't want to disappoint you, but I also want to do what's best for the company. I'd go with that. Go with you. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and at life. Throughout the month of January, we've been having a fun little feature because this is the month where historically we see the greatest numbers around people starting new jobs. Obviously, new year, new career, new job. And so we've been doing something, and so let's get to it. We call it our job tip of the day. All right, Omar on the Ken Coleman Facebook community wrote in, Ken, any tips on staying encouraged while trying to find another place to work? My current job keeps passing me up for promotions. Seems like no one else wants to hire me, and I don't understand why or what is going on. Okay, couple things here. Number one, the way you stay encouraged is you go, how much do you appreciate that paycheck? How much do you appreciate some stability while you keep looking? A lot is the answer, Omar. So your mindset is, I'm grateful for what I have now, even though I know my lid is definitely firmly in place and they're going to keep passing me up. Now, then you get over this idea that because you haven't landed something, you're not valuable. It's not true. You know you're valuable. You know you have something to offer. Focus on that. Keep going. Don't quit. Leverage your connections and relationships. They'll get you better job interviews and better opportunities. And here's the deal, Omar. Rinse and repeat. Don't quit. Stay at it. The right job's waiting on you. Good stuff there. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Colby, who joins us in Wichita, Kansas. Colby, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello. How are you today, Ken?
I'm living the dream, Colby. What's up?
Hey, you know, just enjoying life, getting ready to have a lunch bell go on. So I apologize if you hear that in the background.
Oh, hey, I love it. So you're at school right now. You're a teacher?
Yes.
That's
right. We're getting ready to have lunch. And
well, that won't bother me at all. It'll just give me a little bit of a nervous twitch like I've missed my class, but I'll get over it quickly. So what's up today?
Yeah. So I was calling because I teach a group of about 7 to 8 seniors.
Okay.
And we meet a couple of times a week. And our topic for this group is post-secondary success. Mm. And this group of seniors is a group that maybe doesn't know quite what they want to do after graduation. So sure. My overall question was, what resources can I give these seniors that are meaningful to help them guide toward finding their passion sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I remember this email coming in. I said, get Colby on the show. And so this is great. All right, so a couple of things. So our team has gifted you the 7 or 8, however many kids are in the class. We're giving you a link to my Get Clear Career Assessment, okay?
So that's amazing. Thank you.
That's a great resource, and I'll tell you why. You're having a conversation with these kids every week anyway, so I want them to take the assessment. Even though they have limited work experience, it's going to allow them to self-assess talent, what they do best, passion, work they love to do. And again, they have a limited experience here, but I'll get to more of that in a second. And then mission, which is results that matter to them. And I believe that even at this tender age, that assessment is going to reveal some things. And so as you get each kid's report back, I want you to walk through their report with them and their purpose statement and begin to brainstorm and imagine. I think what's missing so much, Colby, with kids this age is that the public education system in general, I think it's trickled down into private schools as well, is that we turn these kids into memorization machines where that's all they do is memorize and regurgitate as opposed to research, discover who they are and wonder what could be. And so I want you to work through individually with each kid and maybe if they're comfortable, share it with the whole group and you legitimately brainstorm from their own heart and head. Imagine what they might be interested in, okay? So I'm going to give you 3 questions that I want you to dive into with the kids. You're their teacher. You know them best, whether it's group, small group talk, or individual, okay? 3 questions. You ready?
Yep.
Who are the people I most want to help? Oh, there's the bell. Put your lunch away, kids, and get to class. All right, so the first question is, who are the people I want to help? And this is free. This is free flow. You know, they could say, well, I want to help homeless people. Or I want to help entrepreneurs. Or I want to help, you know, whatever. Who are the people they want to help? Secondary question is, what's the problem those people have or desire maybe those people have? It's a three-part question. It gets them all rolling through it, right, at one time. Oh, people I want to help, problem or desire they have, and then what's the solution to their problem or desire that I get excited about providing or supporting? Does that make sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you something. I'm also going to give you, let's also give them a copy of my book, actually both books. Let's load them up from Paycheck to Purpose, which is the 7 stages, so they can see long-term. How do I discover and do what I was created to do? That's from Paycheck to Purpose. But then the Proximity mm-hmm. Principle is a deep dive into the 5 people and the 5 places, okay, that every successful person needs to constantly be around and in, okay? And so you can walk through and create your own little curriculum out of this. But here's the deal. I really want them to focus earlier on in these conversations in the remaining time you have with them this year on that assessment results, the talent that they have. Listen, help them, Colby, with the mm-hmm. other teachers and coaches and parents. What are your top talents? What kind of work or project or topics or people really set your heart on fire? And work within that talent, passion, mission. And you'll show them that, look, all they got to figure out is what they do best, what work they love, and what results matter to them. And once they do that, they can see many jobs and career paths that become realistic for them. And now all of a sudden they go, okay, is college the only way or the best way? And so that's the conversation. I know I hit you with mm-hmm. a lot. Any questions on that?
No, I got it all. I took notes and everything.
See, these kids need the freedom, Colby, of an authority figure like you to actually do a lot of self-discovery. And when you can help unpack their heart and you take the pressure off and we just go, hey, what would you do? What would you try? And how's it related to people? Because everybody wants to make a contribution to make the world a better place. And so really helping these kids understand that and seeing how their talent, the skills they have or could develop into skills from raw talent, those are the tools that they'll use. So there's always clues in what they're good at and what they enjoy. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm giving you those resources and you can pick and pull from anywhere in any of those 2 books as you see fit. But I really want them to take the assessment. And again, it's these are young kids, but I think the process will be a great conversation starter for you.
Yeah. Awesome. We definitely will. They take a few aptitude tests on a few different places, but they work. I don't know how meaningful they are to them. So I'm excited for them to find a passion within the results.
And remember, point it back to them. It's not selfish. It's not arrogant. It's not unhealthy for them to see where they shine and then where their heart beats fast. Talent mm-hmm. and passion. See, talent and passion will reveal the missional result that really fires them up. So the assessment itself will allow you to have conversations that you've never been able to have before. Happy to give it to you. And Colby, here's the only thing. Would you stay in touch with the show and let us know how this goes? Because I'm really fascinated to see how the youngest group of people that I talk to process this information. Because this is not being taught in schools.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really excited. We also get to target this towards what they feel like they need to know after graduation. So next week, we've got financial advisors coming in.
Great.
I'm working on getting a CPA to come in and teach them taxes. So it's more than just job finding, but just what do they feel like they need to know. So
That's
I'm really
amazing.
Excited to start them with this.
Colby, let me tell you something. You are needed. You are a lighthouse in a very tough environment. A public education process. So thank you for what you're doing. These kids have no idea right now how valuable you are to their future. Thank you so much for who you are and for calling into the show. That's what it's all about right there, folks. Teachers helping young people discover who they are and what they were created to do. All right. If you're watching, we'll return in a moment. But for my listeners, you matter. You have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey, good folks, this is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.